welcome to yet another episode of the Open Africa podcast. And I'm here with Nosa and Furo for this third episode.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
So for context on what we do on this podcast, please listen to the first two episodes.
Thank you. I thought you were about to give them a summary.
No.
This is not a Netflix show where you do recaps.
No, there's no recap here. We are diving straight into the business of the day. Nosa, you want to start?
Anyway, yes, I'll just start because there's a tweet I found out that came out like maybe a week or a couple weeks ago. My problem has never been how to receive money within Nigeria. The market is crude and people pay you via bank transfer. They don't care. But there's a whole international market out there that the Nigerian market is missing out on because there's no reliable way to get payments from the international market. If people are still having the same problems they were having in 2013, while fintech companies circle jerk around their half-baked solutions, did you people really do anything?
Wow. This is a tweet?
Yes, it's a tweet. It's like a two-tweet thing.
Well, I know there's a way to receive international payments. And if you want to receive international payments, I can't even receive international payments via Paystack.
Yeah. I mean, there's also...
Flutterwave.
And there's the rapid transfer. Ecobank has rapid transfer to receive from other African countries.
So, I'm not exactly sure what...
I don't know why she calls it half-baked.
Maybe the issue is awareness.
No, if that's your business, like if your business receives internet, you ask now or you Google it.
I mean, to be fair, I have a problem with people like making like very loud
grand
statements without any knowledge backing it. And to be fair, maybe that's what we do on this podcast for us. Some people might be listening to us and say, these guys don't even know what they're hearing. So I'll put that caveat out there. But I don't know, I just thought like, just blasting off fintechs for releasing half-baked solutions. Like,
What is a
half-baked solution?
Because and how many businesses are actually getting regular
international payments?
Like, because to receive it, I mean, except you are exporting, in which case it will be a letter of credit that is paying you, and then there will therefore be export proceeds. If you are rendering a service, you would already have a way to receive that payment. I don't know, that's just my thoughts.
I mean, to be fair, if say you were rent, it's hard. It's not easy to be fair, receiving money from like an international source. Like if
it depends.
I mean, there's the Paystack thing, but there are the fees because it's expensive. It's not like a cheap.
I don't understand. If you are paying for something internationally, too, is it cheap?
That's the
what's your bookie telling you? It's 360, 362. But by the time you use a card, they are billing you 375, because they are adding the cost now.
Yeah, so I
international payments are not, this is not the Eurozone. We are not.
Yeah, I don't know why.
International payments are expensive because people will make money.
Yeah, I don't know why you call that half payments. But it's, yeah.
Also, like looking at it, even like international payments going out, they're usually expensive just because of all the routing that has to go on.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
So
there's,
it's not that
you
don't fill a form in GT Bank, for instance, and then. Because even within Nigeria,
we don't have FX clearing in the country. I think Ghana does, but we don't have. So any dollar or foreign currency movement, even within the Nigerian banking system, say from a GT to an Access, it goes to an
offshore
bank,
and then it comes back down.
So it's not a straightforward
thing, and it's not a thing that fintechs are doing wrong. It's just it's the nature of the country.
And in fact, FX as a whole in Nigeria is tricky, because I was talking to someone in a bank treasury recently, and apparently, did you know that me selling my dollars to you and receiving naira payments for
is not legal?
It's illegal in Nigeria.
It's illegal. It's illegal.
And actually,
that's a good segue into, because there's like, I've forgotten the name of the startup that does these things where
FX payments. I've forgotten the IU.
They allow you to transfer money from Nigeria. They pitched to us, or they sent us a deck like last year.
There's someone too, a startup that you sent me their website that they were doing.
No,
For FX.
Yeah, like they do like the FX exchange.
like peer to peer type.
Yeah.
Except if the individuals on that exchange have a license from the central bank to sell FX.
Again, so because people say like, why don't banks do this? Because that startup is doing that. Like, why aren't banks doing this for foreign transfers? And for me, it's like a lot of people miss out. They don't know how regulations work. Like, they don't know. Because we try to do it like, well, we tried to build something like this not too long ago, and we met the whole, once we spoke to compliance, he was like, hey, you can't do this, sorry. Peer-to-peer exchange of dollars actually not legal. Like, Aboki is technically not allowed to sit in your branch and sell dollars.
But the interesting thing is that a lot of all these Abokis are actually registered BDCs.
Yeah.
They are just like the human operational form because of the BDC.
To buy dollar in Nigeria, you actually have to have something you're using
the dollar for, based on the FX regulation in the country. Yeah.
For the sake of buying.
And this is the government literally trying to protect our foreign reserves. It's not that, you know, because if we all just keep buying externally, it's literally directly impacting our external reserves. So I understand why.
Yeah, so like, even when the man I'm selling to you, he's probably listing your transaction as
something.
As something. Yeah. And saying, oh, he bought it for travel.
BT. As a matter of fact, I also happen to like know how it goes with BDCs, but since I don't want to get kidnapped, I will be seeing you guys offline to just see on that one. Moving on.
But no, for in terms of foreign entities, so they're doing like borderless transactions.
Technically, BePesa isn't moving any money across.
But they're facilitating receiving and sending abroad. Yes. But the money.
You know how it works now.
Through crypto.
No, not crypto. What they're doing is,
so they maintain multiple positions across different countries.
Yeah. So then, if I transfer to a Kwame in Ghana. I transfer Naira to BePesa.
And they just move from their
own Ghanaian account. So it's local, but they have a solid. It's a.
But I think you need a lot of money to do that.
Yes, and they have a solid treasury team.
Yeah.
And the entire thing is facilitated by blockchain. I love their value proposition. It is on a low BePesa. Please come and hire me.
actually, like a developer BePesa.
No, I really like them because I feel like that's something that for all of our ECOWAS and our African Union, we kind of slept on. I know Afrexin, is it Afrexin?
Yeah, Afrexin.
They are trying that, with PAPS, the clearing, they have a clearing thing that they are trying to build. I'm not sure if they've launched it yet, but basically it's going to facilitate intra-African payments and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so what's it called? Just going back to that, that's not a problem that one fintech is going to solve.
Take on it's too big
of a problem. It's not like they don't want to take it on. There's a lot of money to be made, but it's just
there's a lot of regulation
to navigate.
Yeah. I think you were triggered by the half baked section of
yes, that half baked section triggered me because there's nothing that annoys me more on the internet when people are loud and wrong.
Yeah.
I guess it's like the culture of the internet, but it's like, If something seems obvious, there's a reason why it's not happening.
And you say this all the time.
And it's something I say all the time. It's like, it's not like everybody is stupid. It's like if you go to an organization and their processes are long and tedious and you try to simplify it and they tell you no, you walk away thinking, oh, these guys are daft. No, there's probably a reason why these guys like their process.
Yeah, there was something probably happened.
And they make it long.
Yeah. Fair.
It's not, it's very... And who even has... That's not even a challenge of the majority. Most of us are poor, anyway.
Goes back to my original question. Like, how many people, what's the volume of people that are actually receiving international payments?
Let's just handle our... Yeah, you know.
The guys that receive international payments on a regular, they are
that's not their problem.
It's not their problem. Right. Don't worry about it. Except if you are exporting wigs to.
I guess maybe because if you are exporting wigs to like Ghana, you can't receive payments from your local guy.
Actually, you can use EcoBank.
Actually,
you can do EcoBank. I think you can even do Access. I'm not sure. So
there are options.
Yeah.
But speaking of poor people, MTN and their PSB license.
Yeah.
They are poor people.
So, and for context.
And the value proposition is you can send money to anyone. I was like, I wonder who told you.
Okay, wait, hold on. Problem. So, the PSB license that MTN got, is it this Momo thing?
Yeah,
it's part of it.
Yeah.
You know, because they have that Homeland remittance thing, which is it's separate, where you can, it's basically mobile money. And for all the countries that MTN operates in, you can send money to them. But there's also the Payment Service Bank initiative by the central bank, for which they are issuing licenses as we speak.
It's Momo.
Wow, what an interesting name.
Momo is here. Now you feel send and receive money.
For our listeners who may not be familiar with the concept of payment service banks, it's basically the CBN's attempt to drive financial inclusion, to get more people to have access to the financial services market, have accounts or the equivalent of bank accounts. So payment service banks, they targeted telcos and FMCGs, basically companies that have reach. And they are going to operate like banks, but they won't be allowed to deal in FX, they won't be allowed to lend, and at the very least, 25% of their operations must be in rural areas, or as determined by the central bank. That's just a couple of features of PSBs. So, yeah.
You know, now that I think about it, I don't know why anyone would want a PSB license.
It's because they're hoping that
later on. No, there's a market for it. Loads of people
can
don't
do,
have bank
you
accounts.
Can only do savings and deposits.
Yes.
You can issue cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And also called?
All the costs.
You can carry out payments.
Yes.
You can't give loan.
You can't give loans.
You can't do FX.
You
can't do insurance.
They're doing it based on who.
But it's a volume game. So they are going to charge. And as a matter of fact, don't be surprised if regular bank customers migrate to PSBs.
Why?
Because PSBs do the bare essentials for what those people need. And they are probably going to do it at a cheaper cost.
I think it is not. That's what I was going to put.
It's not?
It's not. I need to find it. But it's like 100 naira to transfer or something. It's very expensive.
Bottom line, all of them are doing it based on they're hoping that in the future, they will then be allowed to do all these other fancy things if they gain traction. Because ultimately, if the numbers are there, like we're all saying the numbers are there, and they manage to bring all these people into financial services,
mm-hmm.
then, I mean...
They are going to make money.
Yeah.
Well, because as things stand, MTN has a license, Glo has a license, yeah. Airtel has a license. I'm not sure about 9.
No, let me see. Customers pay transfer sum to agent, who in turn gives them code to be transmitted to the receiver. The receiver goes to an agent near them and collects the cash. The sender will pay 100 naira, 50 will go to the sending agent, and 50 will go to the paying agent. 100 naira to transfer money.
Well, I want to believe that the central bank did, like,
research.
Yes, they conducted ethnographic studies into the potential market to find out if, because the Nigeria that may I know, if people have a problem, and this is not poor people, though, if middle class people have a problem with 52 naira card maintenance fee,
maybe this is why
are they going to accept 100 naira?
Maybe this is why they're pushing into the rural areas where these guys have absolutely no choice, but this is the only way you can transform.
So that's the thing, though. There's a system that they're currently using. If your
it's
proposition,
not
it's not convenient, but if your proposition is now going to take,
perhaps it might be genius from the CBN, because now that I think about it, the risk in the rural areas, first things first, you've worked hard, you've been on the farm all day, you've sold your produce, you've made 5 kids, they now tell you Boko Haram is coming before you can get back home.
They'll brought your 5,000 naira.
Your 5K is gone. You have to start afresh, and then we tell you that for 100 naira.
I mean
that 5K.
Okay,
you give it to somebody else, and it becomes their problem. Perhaps.
I don't know what the poor person's problem in Nigeria. I'm not going to pretend like I understand the challenges.
Neither do I, to be honest.
But I really doubt their problem is sending and receiving money. Like I saw it, and I was like,
I think their problem is storing money. because they spend money, but they, as things stand, because I have a grandmother in a village who literally gives someone money. Like when my mom and her siblings send her money, and she sends someone to withdraw for her, and then she has a business that she does as well. And when she like stacks up all that money, she gives to someone, and the person takes a bus. Like it's an actual trip to get to the near. There used to be a first bank, but you know how banks do. They are not making. Who is taking loan in that community? So it's an actual trip to go and deposit money and deposit and withdraw cash as well. So for those people,
so I guess maybe
it might substitute the transport fare.
Yeah, maybe it's storage.
Storage, in storage, my opinion, I would think that storage is there.
But as a big business, maybe for MTN, they're big enough where volume game, a lot of MTN subscribers in those areas, they're the largest network, they have the numbers. But this thing also says supermarkets can get on it as well.
Except if I'm not trying to say I know all the supermarkets in Nigeria, but if there's any supermarket that can buy PSB license and is not ShopRite, and ShopRite is not in rural areas, I don't know how you want to fund it though. But if you buy PSB license, me, I will investigate you.
But the shops can
have
like agents.
Agency
is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to actually buy the PSB license.
I don't think they would be going there.
How much is the PSB license?
Let me Google it.
I mean, if it's like 50K, which is like 5 million, perhaps Prince Ibano can get in on the action. But if it's anything like microfinance bank licenses or bank license, not even bank licenses, and there is silence.
5 million naira. Well, you need a capital base of 5 billion naira.
And how much is the
License itself? There's a non-refundable 500K application fee and a licensing fee of 2 million.
I see. That's why supermarkets can get in on the action now, including the supermarkets that they use as money laundering fronts. Is there a bigger money laundering front than an actual bank? I bet you didn't think of this immediately.
So do you think PSB pose a challenge to fintechs?
I think that for fintechs who are truly trying to drive financial inclusion, that have it on their deck and actually believe that they're going to solve it, I think PSBs are a threat to them, and not just banks.
And how many of these fintechs exist?
Yeah, because I think people just use fintechs as one broad sweep.
Yeah.
Paystack isn't banking your bank. Yeah. We say fintech, and we just assume that PSBs are going to ruin the fintechs.
Well, to be fair, the biggest argument has been PSB is ruining banks, but I'm not sure that is going to happen.
I mean, like banks don't even care about those guys in the first place.
Yeah, because they're making their money from the top 1% or top 0.5%. So
I mean, if there was any bank, the only bank that should be worried is maybe, like if you're a small bank, I'll be worried of OPE.
Oh my gosh.
To be OPE, that would be like, why these guys are entering.
I know, Nigerian banks, to be fair, they are not really, I mean, they're wary of fintechs, but not necessarily bothered, because let's even assume that you eat the retail business. So we just shut up shop and continue to deal for businesses and lending and trade finance, international trade, letters of credit, bills for collection.
No, these guys can do the real business. Like they don't have the money.
Do you know how much
to do the real?
Do you know how much? Do you know how much banks make from letters of credit and foreign credit lines to finance those international finance? Banks are not bothered about, except if your core business. I mean, to be fair, Shah, banks. I know that a couple of banks, including my employer, is there. There is a plan, you know, for PSBs. PSBs are a recognized threat. In fact, if you are a serious-minded bank, you should be worried.
Well, I think that if transaction numbers are anything to go by, right? I think like inclusion is increasing, right? And we're starting to see like, so beyond just people getting into financial services, people are starting to leverage digital channels a lot more transactions. I know there was in the news recently that we did 711
It was like in Q2, $112 billion.
Yeah.
In 711 million transactions in Q2. Yeah. So.
Wait, divide that. How much per transaction?
Pounds, like, phone can't be done.
Sorry.
Right. 100, you first have to turn that. Anyway, it's like, dealing it in dollars, yeah?
Yeah, just
deal
it in dollars.
So, first, then, nah. But it does seem like. Like digital channels are being accepted, and financial inclusion is
so then average like $157
per transaction.
Yeah.
That's actually not bad.
And this is probably inclusive of business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That probably skews.
Yeah. So it was curious, massive. Because I'm fairly certain.
Yeah.
Because even me,
as like, I'm
not doing that much in transactions on the rate. 100 and what dollar? 30 something thousand. How much am I getting paid, monkey? Please.
Nah. Okay, so if you're a customer like a PSB, so the PSB brings you into the system, makes you more sophisticated. At some point, you're going to need a loan, and the PSB can't give you that.
Well,
then the conversation will start about
the PSB is going to meet the central bank and say, look, our customers are asking for loans. We want to start lending too. And then at the end of the day, it's actually good for the customer.
I mean, aren't they preparing? So aren't PSB just preparing the market for big banks to eat?
These are questions that we can't answer.
I honestly don't know. Because I feel like we have to see how they perform first. Because with some of these things, you really can't say how adoption is going to be.
So while everybody's saying banks and this, banks and that, these telcos as well, problems.
In fact, odds are they are more wicked than banks. Because you borrow credit 200 naira, but it's only 150 naira that will enter your account. Like, what?
Yeah, and apart from that, customer service is pretty bad. Like, you have a challenge and you're trying to reach them to get resolution.
Yeah, and that was what I was telling a room of like new hires. And I was basically saying that, look, PSBs are, we will pay attention to them because if they are new entrants to your market, you should be, you have to be conscious of them. But at the same time, I'm also aware of the fact that the same people setting up these PSBs are the same guys that provide the shoddy service that upsets all of us every day. Like, I was using Airtel for a bit. And throughout that entire period, I wasn't getting OTPs. I fought my bank, as in I was calling customer care. And the day I ported back to Nine Mobile is the day OTPs started delivering to my number again.
I guess my thing is just, there's not much money to be made. Maybe there's money and I'm not seeing it, but what's that thing?
There is money.
What's that thing? Is it asset and liability mismatch, whatever? I mean, if you can't give out loans and it's just...
You're just gathering deposits.
So,
there's a funding gap.
Yeah.
Those deposits will fall back to the bank. Because they can't even store, can they?
Who? PSBs, they can.
They can?
Yeah. They can. So they will have infrastructure, they will have vaults, they will have the whole setup that banks do.
So you spend that money to set up like a bank, but you can't make money like a bank.
That's why they may never be, they probably won't be as big as even a Unity or Heritage bank. Are they the same? Sorry.
I feel like Heritage is a biggish bank. Biggish.
Heritage? I don't know, Sha.
Unity maybe not.
I just know that I have a Unity bank account. It was service here. I filled a Keystone account opening form for my platform.
I have a Fidelity bank account.
And I got a Unity bank account. Guys, I filled form for Keystone, but got Unity Bank.
Sorry, just process.
<concepts. laughs> Sometimes.
Anyway, so yeah, I don't know how PSBs are going to do it, but the central bank believes that they're a good way to
drive financial inclusion.
Drive financial inclusion. I just feel like if I had money, that money, I would not get a PSP license.
Maybe there must be some value they're seeing that might not be seeing right now. And I think that...
I mean, for MTN to hop at... I mean, MTN has a lot of cash.
Yeah, and they've been waiting to get into
financial services.
So maybe they have a strategy that...
Yeah.
We just don't know.
Which should be on.
It would be interesting if we could talk to somebody in MTN who could... Yeah, to understand what their approach is. So if you're listening from MTN, please hit us up at, what's that, our email again?
OpenAfricaPodcast@gmail.com.
Or send us a DM on Twitter at OpenAfricaPod.
If anybody, I think, should be concerned, it should be the different startups that doing that into agency banking and have raised money, big money, and going into agency banking, because I feel like that's a bubble that's just going to...
Will PSBs use agents, or will they, or do they have to deploy their own agents?
I think they'll probably do both. But for me, I feel like while fintech should be conscious, I don't think Nigerians are not. I don't think that people are very happy to be jumping from one
financial service provider
to another. True. So like, it's a threat, yes. But then at least the existing customer base.
Because I was reading one report where Moody's was like, it wasn't even as fintechs. Moody's was basically saying that Nigerian banks should beware. And in my head, I'm like, wait, what?
Beware. Like, I'm like, that's some 20-year-old interns. Just typing away.
Because they were saying that other Nigerian that the PSBs have the potential to eat the retail leg. And in my head, I'm like, it's not really straightforward like that.
I mean, would you guys put your money in MTN Momo?
I mean, let us know if you would put your money in Momo.
I personally would not. But it'd be good to hear
from everyone.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we're done with today's episode. Thank you for dropping by and listening to Nosa's rant early on.
I feel like I got something out to get off my chest. I'm sorry.
Anyway, if you're new on the channel, if this is your first episode, please check out our previous episodes and let us know what you think on Twitter. The account is handled by all of us, so someone will catch your comments.
Or complaints.
If you have some perspective that you want to share, please.
Yeah, if you feel like there's something that we're not seeing.
If you work at MTN and you feel like I'm not getting your strategy, please let me know.
Or you work in a fintech and you feel like we've dragged you unnecessary, or you feel triggered. This is only our own perspective, so yeah.
I've been wrong about many things, so
I'm willing to concede where I'm wrong.
Speaking of being wrong about many things, one thing I'm not wrong about is this Okada business. But I'm waiting for it to crystallize and we'll have a discussion in it one day. How this is a terrible business to get into and I don't see the upside. But that is one hot take I'll take to my grave.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening and we will talk to you in a bit.
Alright, bye.